I'm DJ.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Bree.
And this is Surviving Life.
Hello.
Yo.
Welcome.
What it do?
What it do?
What it do? Lots of things, I guess.
All the things.
Calm down.
Who?
Everyone's calm.
Everyone's calm except for you. You're out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. A little mishap on my mic, all right?
It's fine. Mm. Technical difficulties.
I'm very proud you didn't. I thought it was coming. The face was getting red.
It was getting a little red.
Yeah, scared.
It was about to.
Well, it's fine.
Take cover.
We made it.
Mm-hmm. We
Welcome.
Survived.
Take
yes,
cover.
We survived. Welcome,
Get the
everyone.
Fuck out of here.
Welcome to our show.
Welcome, everybody.
Hi.
Hi. So how did everybody
so
survive this
getting
week?
So awkward.
Yep. We just keep seeing so and how. Help. Okay. How did everyone survive this week?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I'm just diving into this half marathon training. I'm enjoying it. I'm running. I'm like recording my runs on Strava and just trying to get my pace better.
Good.
It's exciting. It's something to look forward to. I never thought I'd be that person. You know what I mean?
I remember when I trained for a half marathon, I ran 10 miles a day and everyone's like, Brittany, you're fucking crazy. Nobody does that. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, like, you only have to do like one long run a week, so
yeah.
They say, but I mean, I can see how you just like get in the zone. I'm channeling my inner David Goggins.
Well, I would do like 5 miles in the morning and 5 in the evening.
Oh, okay.
But either way, like I shouldn't have been doing that because that's not how you train. So eventually I figured it out, but
yeah.
It's fun. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I pulled up ready to podcast and fucking Brittany was like, I'll get here early. I said, okay, cool.
He got
I pull up, fucking...
What?
Runner extraordinaire over there is fucking warming up. And then she runs right past my car. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, I thought we were recording.
I had to get it in, you know.
And then fucking DJ texts me. I'm like right at the door. He's like, where you at, ho? And like just like fucking RJ would text me. And I'm just like, what the fuck? I'm like, I'm here.
She said I'm walking the dogs. I'm like, what? Is anybody fucking home? Like, what
These
the hell?
These hoes ain't loyal.
I wish everybody could see DJ's face right now because it's fucking great.
Well.
I consumed a lot of TV this week.
Just a lot.
Like, I had to
everything.
Catch up. I've been slacking. Y'all know me. Like, I'm Mr. fucking watching movies and shit, and I just haven't been doing it. So, I watched A Clockwork Orange because I'm getting another tattoo in a couple of weeks.
That movie's fucked up.
And I'm getting a tattoo from A Clockwork Orange, and that movie is super fucked up. Like, it's been a while. Like, I love it, but it's a hard movie to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You would not be able to watch it.
Nope.
You just wouldn't.
Nope.
There's a lot of people that wouldn't be able to watch that movie.
Nope.
It's just fucked up.
It's so fucked
it's
up.
It's super violent.
It's Malcolm McDowell when he was like younger.
This is like the '70s. I mean, it's I don't know how the movie got made, and I didn't even realize that it was a fucking book. My brother-in-law told me that.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
So it's his favorite book. I'm like,
okay.
It's a fucking book. I was like, I had no idea, but yeah, it's a wild ass movie. And then I watched a docuseries called The Lady in the Dale. It's on
Ooh.
HBO Max. It's actually really good.
What's it about?
It's about this guy who ends up being transgender, but his former life was like a lot. It was like he was kind of like he was a con man, shit like that.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
And he ended up creating this car. He ended up going on the run, right? As his male, you know,
right?
And he ended up transitioning into a woman. This is in like the '70s,
mm-hmm.
And he ended up transitioning into a woman, and he ended up creating this car, or she ended up creating this car called the Dale, which it never really took off, but it was like a big fucking deal back then because it was like they had like an oil crisis back then, so like gas was fucking like, you know, they had lines for hours like to get gas, and this car had three wheels and it was supposed to be like you know, that it was going to save everything. Mm-hmm. Ended up, there was a few shady things that were happening there, but she ended up, you know, going to jail, and they made more of a deal about the fact that it was a man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They made a deal like that. She was just trying to cover up the fact that she was this other guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of like, she was a transgendered woman. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? I don't know, but it was really good. I would recommend it. And then I watched the first episode, because they only had one out, about Woody Allen and Mia Farrow.
Oh, I want to watch that documentary.
Which Woody Allen is a
he's
his
a creative
movies,
genius, but he is a fucked up human being.
He is super fucked up.
So, do you know anything about him, Brie?
Is he the one that married his daughter?
Yes,
his
stepdaughter.
His stepdaughter or adopted daughter.
It was her daughter, and they ended up getting married. So, I mean, it was like his stepdaughter, adopted daughter, yeah. And he ended up getting with her and marrying her. But even before that, he's just a super strange guy, which, I knew he was strange, but I didn't realize that he was, like, as strange as he was. Because even when him and Mia got together, like, she had all these adopted children.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, he's like, I don't want anything to do with the kids. He's like, I want to have a relationship with you, but I don't want anything to do with the kids.
Like, I couldn't
this is
even
before
be
they even
with
got
somebody
married
like that.
Stuff. Yeah, like,
that's
it was
bananas.
It was very wild.
That
so I,
like, that just infuriates me even hearing about it. Like,
me too. I never understood.
He's very blunt about it. Like, it was crazy to hear. But I started watching that. And then I fucking got into that Sinner show. The Sinner.
Oh.
Have you guys watched that?
Did you ever? You never watched that?
I never watched it before. I heard
so
a lot
surprised.
Of people talk about it, and I'd never seen it. And I binged that first season
with
like
Jessica
hard.
Biel.
Yeah,
that's
such a good
is.
Season. The second season wasn't as great, and I binged that too. Like, I went hard on these fucking things. So I'm on
You're
to
on
the
season?
Third season, but
oh, man,
that first
so
season
good.
was awesome.
Yeah,
like, I really really enjoyed it, and I've never been a huge fan of Jess. I mean, not that I'm not a huge fan of hers, but it's just I never thought she was like
her,
anything special.
Her
She's always,
acting talent
yeah.
really comes through in that series, because
yeah.
when you think Jessica Biel, you think Seventh Heaven.
Yeah, but I thought she was great, and I thought Bill Pullman was fucking amazing.
He's the president.
Well, he's the same way though. I never really thought he was great in anything. I mean, Independence Day was awesome, but
Spaceballs.
Oh, Spaceballs! Yeah, I forgot about Spaceballs. yeah.
Bree's
yeah.
face right now. She's like,
this just in Jabba the Hutt just ate himself.
Oh my! This motherfucker coming out of nowhere with
that.
That's awesome. Actually,
that's such
my
a
brothers
great
and
night.
I. My brothers and I probably should not have been watching that as children.
Oh
but
no!
We loved it. And like they're like combing in the desert. This is so racist. But the black guys.
Oh,
like,
with
the actual
pick.
Pick. I was like, even as a child, I was like, that's fucked up.
I remember
like,
thinking that too. But I also, for me, I also remember watching that and being like, my dad has a pick.
Oh my God,
because he did.
Well.
It's fine.
So that, you know, that's what I've been doing. I've just been trying to catch myself up on some things and watch some stuff.
I watched this show on Netflix this week. It's called Ginny and Georgia.
I've seen that. Is it good?
It's good. And let me tell you why I love this show is because the girl, Ginny, she's like the teenage daughter. And they cover two storylines. They cover Georgia's, who's the mom, and then Ginny's, who's the daughter. And Ginny is mixed. So she's like half black, half white. And I was like, oh my God, I fucking relate to this so much, because they talk about like just they address her struggle. Like there's one point where she's like at this school dance, and like there's this like station set up to like get your hair put in a ponytail, and like the woman starts to comb her hair and then it gets all like frizzy, you know? And I was just like, oh my God, I can fucking relate to that, because I remember going to school in like second grade on picture day, and my mom had like curled my hair. And then, like, some lady brushed it. Do you guys remember, like, how they, I don't know if you guys had this, but they would have combs at picture day, like a box of them. And they would, like, comb your hair and fix it for you. This lady combed my hair, and I still have my second grade picture, and I fucking hate it because she fucked it all up. And aww. I literally related to, like,
right.
just so much that I binged that show. I related so much to, like, It did a good job of capturing what it's like to be like a multiracial person, and I was like fucking awesome.
That's so important, I think, you know, just for you and like younger girls too, or boys, just people to have people on TV that they can relate to, mm-hmm. and that they see looks like them and, you know, mm-hmm. is their skin color.
I feel like this is like one of the first TV shows that I've seen in this kind of like way where they actually kind of address like
issue. Right.
I have a friend who's also mixed, and like her and I at the height of the summer when we were talking about like all the Black Lives Matter stuff, like I called her one day and she was like, you know, the first thing I remember hating about myself was my hair. And I was like, me fucking too, because that's like all the like shameful girls in school were like, you know,
makes me so sad,
like that didn't look like me and didn't have hair like me. They had like straight hair, you know, whatever, and they fair skinned, and we like, that's like one of the things we bond over, is like that's the first thing we remember hating about ourselves is our fucking hair, when I still straighten my hair to this day.
Well, y'all's so beautiful.
Well, yeah, hair. Now I like I'm trying to embrace my natural hair a little bit more, but
I think we can all look back in the 90s and say that the hair was not great.
No, it wasn't good for
anyone. I had a
anyone.
Fucking bowl cut. It was awful.
I was hoping you were going to say mullet.
No, I didn't go that route. I went the bowl cut route. And I don't know why that was such a popular thing.
I don't know why either.
Like everybody had fucking one, and I hated it.
My one school picture, my mom had my bangs curled up and then down, looked like I had a mullet, and literally
I'm
like,
just thinking like, what is it, the aqua net bed?
Yeah, and it's so funny because mom did me no justice.
They went hard though, the parents, you know, to put you in those fucking, they don't do that shit now, but like, I mean, you still could probably get dressed up, but like I remember wearing fucking heavy sweaters and turtlenecks and shit.
Oh, yeah, picture day. Because
it was fucking
like
picture day. My hair was parted. I'm like, get the fuck away from me, Mom. What are you doing?
With the tie-dye background.
No, man, like the ugliest fucking sweater you could ever imagine. Well, heavy.
Ugly,
like nasty.
Sweaters before they were cool.
It was like green and brown. Fucking.
DJ, DJ looks like he's going to throw up right now.
With a fucking turtleneck.
Well, I mean,
picture day was lit though. Yeah. Like you got to pick your own background, and you're like, fuck
I want the blue,
but
please.
It kind of sucked though, because you had to pay extra. You had to pay extra for the colored background.
You did.
So you always knew you were like that basic bitch kid when you got the slate gray.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about, because you would look to the person next to you and you would be like, oh.
Yeah, that's probably real.
I got the slate gray.
I feel like I'm having flashbacks. Sorry.
I know.
Like
my
that.
Parents don't love me. I'm getting the slate gray.
Yeah. It's so
ridiculous.
Oh man, I miss picture day. We can have our own picture day.
It's called selfies. Welcome to 2021.
Yeah,
every
but we can
day.
Like set up a chair and like we all can get done up and wear ugly sweaters. And
I've been trying to do that for decades.
Well,
but
we're gonna do it.
To,
we're gonna
so.
Do it. Picture day's happening.
Oh god.
Get ready, DJ. You're gonna have to wear that button up again.
Well, speaking,
it wasn't a button up. It was a fucking sweater.
Well,
that
right
the
now.
One that you have
you're
on
talking,
right now.
I'm still having flashbacks to
oh, god.
Third
with
grade.
With your pocket though, you got the cigs in your pocket. I see you.
Yeah.
Calm down, yo. Stop outing me. Right. I don't smoke unless I'm here. Mm-hmm. Mom and Dad, don't. I don't smoke. Bree, you fuck.
Well, unbeknownst to me that they didn't know.
I'm holding these cigarettes for
secrets.
Someone.
Secrets Same. Are no fun.
Stop.
Secrets don't make friends.
Oh, God.
But I'll speak real quick. Speaking of things that I actually watch a little bit of TV too, and everyone's going to hate me, but
oh God,
on Netflix, Dancing with Birds. So
okay. I am
I watched
fucking
that.
Shook.
Yes,
where
okay.
What so algorithm
good.
Do they have right, for Brie that
we,
the
so
Dancing
good.
With Birds comes
so good.
Up?
Okay, can we? Can
and
we?
Now I bought a bird feeder that glows in the dark, or it's like solar, so at nighttime it glows.
Do you guys have
for
liquor?
My back porch?
What the fuck?
With my balcony.
So
yeah.
Fun fact about Brittany, she's scared to death of birds.
Well,
penguins are my favorite animal, but I am scared to death of birds because I watched Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Buckle up for the birds.
It's fine.
I don't.
But you know what? I would fill the bird feeders for the old people
well,
when I worked
gonna,
at their retirement
well,
home.
Too,
so I would always do that.
Mm-hmm. What is the what do they do on this show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's like really cool. There's like the British guy that like over, you know, like over whatever, like. Narrates and I don't know, just different birds, and it's actually kind of cool because
oh, so
like
it shows,
decorating.
So it's not people dancing with
no,
birds
because no, no.
that's what I thought. I'm like,
I was like, Brie, what are you fucking
no,
watching?
It's
I'm
like
not dancing with
these
birds.
Different kind of birds and Just their, I don't
oh,
know,
because like birds like do yeah. that thing to like attract the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, it's like their mating ritual and like how they actually they.
It's like they're twerking.
Well,
well, they don't twerk, but I'm just saying like that's their version.
Anyway, okay, we're done with this conversation because my birds are not twerking.
It's classier though.
I don't know. It's just weird that I used to not really fuck with birds because I watch Alfred Hitchcock movies.
That's
birds,
what I'm saying.
And,
hello.
Like I used to not, but I don't know. Since been out in nature and they're just interesting. I know I sound so old and weird.
No,
but
they're interesting.
They're just interesting creatures.
I used to love birds when I was in like first grade. Red winged blackbird. That was my shit.
I don't know.
Oh yeah, I've seen
that was my bird.
I don't know if I talked to you guys about this. Maybe I don't know if we talked about it on here or whatever, but you know in the Holocaust how they used to have like the butterflies were a thing, like the mm-hmm. a lot of the prisoners mm-hmm. would see butterflies in the children's barracks. They had butterflies, so it was kind of like that was like it's like a symbol from God that like better days were coming.
Yeah,
I see fucking cardinals everywhere on my runs, my walks, outside the patient, and multiples.
They're
like
symbolic
outside,
for something.
They
right?
are.
Yeah, right. And
a
outside,
family member or not. Or
that's
like
they say like someone from that's passed on is coming to
visit.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
like multiple, and even like out my apartment, I have a balcony, and like literally like four of them one day were just lined up staring at me, looking at me in my window. And my patients, like without me even saying anything, were just like, look at all the cardinals. And out in the bushes, it was like five
yeah.
of them. So it's like, I don't, maybe I'm reaching here for something, but like
I don't
a
know
good
if you
sign
are.
From COVID.
I think,
know, that
I think it could
days,
mean something.
Better
but
days are coming.
I can
so.
Tell you, if I saw four cardinals on the balcony staring at me, I'd be like, these motherfuckers are plotting to
oh
fucking
my
kill
God.
Me.
Brittany, go to bed.
That's what I would think.
Nobody's
killing
them. That's why you gotta stop watching all those damn documentaries that you do, both of you.
That's not documentary.
I'm not having nightmares about fucking birds.
Well,
I'm okay.
Well,
I'm all right over here.
DJ's looking at me like
I am perfectly
do you
fine.
Need help?
Also,
are you fine?
Also, I almost Snapchatted both of you this week because I was like the one day I was like getting ready to go to work and I couldn't find my keys and I always put my keys in the same spot with my purse, my bag, all my stuff. And
oh,
I
that
was like,
that was when we recorded last
I
week.
I was so annoyed with myself. I left my keys in the goddamn door, in the door overnight. So I was like, well, if the night stalker was going to come, last night would have been the night because he just could have let himself right on in.
Yeah. Well, good thing you didn't.
Yeah, yeah, good thing.
Yeah.
You're good.
Somebody
don't
was watching
your keys
over
in
you.
Your fucking
those cardinals
door.
Were
cardinals,
watching over
yeah.
you.
Either that or he took a night off. I don't know. So.
Well,
he's dead.
Yeah. He's so. Dead. I showed Bri a meme that I had. It was like,
oh my
what?
God.
I was going to send it to the group and I forgot because I'll screenshot things and I'm like, I got to remember to send this and I forgot.
It's terrible. You scared the shit out of me when you showed me that.
But we went out for a drink the other day and dessert and it's like, it's Little Richard's face on Richard Ramirez and it says Little Richard.
Oh my God.
Terrifying. I was like, what?
She's like, I was like, I was gonna send this to the group and she's like, thank God you did it.
I know, I was just trying to enjoy my brownie. I had a brownie with ice cream and then like some pumpkin amazing
spice,
latte
martini.
Drink thing, and then she shows me that and I'm like, well, Brittany,
it was
wow.
fucking hilarious.
Enjoy your meal, bitch.
Good thing I'm good at eating my feelings because
it was so funny. I wasn't expecting that reaction.
Girl,
I'm glad that I didn't send that to you guys
Whoa.
At like 11 o'clock at
yeah,
night
same.
Like I like probably so normally would have.
Yeah.
I like how that just popped up at dessert though. Oh hey, I have to show you something, hold on here, look. I'm done with my brownie now. Take my check.
No, like I said, I eat my feelings. So it was like, I'm just shoveling in at this point. I'm
so
like,
funny.
Oh,
I wasn't expecting that reaction. I was like, this is hilarious. And Bri was like, ugh.
Can I get a scotch? Scotch and a beer, please.
I needed tequila, really.
I'm fucking dead.
But so anyway.
I think you would really enjoy this show. So it's called Moving Art and it's on Netflix. And I found it like a year ago. And all it is...
I think the guy might have done a TED Talk. I just posted it, actually.
The moving art guy?
Yeah.
So, like, the moving art show is literally just, like, cameras panning over, like, landscapes and stuff. Yeah. And, like, there's nobody talking. Like, there's just music behind
it's
it.
It's very calming.
Oh,
very
it's a film.
Calming. Essentially.
Like Fantasia, but for adults.
Yeah. So, like, I found it last year. And, like, that's what I would watch last year to fall asleep. And I've been really trying to commit myself to, like... finish one of the 50,000 books that I've like decided to read. So like I can't read without some sort of background noise though. It's really weird. So
no, I am the complete opposite. I need silence.
So I have to have some sort of noise. It doesn't have to be, it can be people talking, but it can also just be like an ambient sound or whatever, right. Which I use. I've been using
meditation
my
meditation music, girl.
That's what I do. I use my Calm app a lot, and yeah. I'll just put on like whatever type of meditation music is on there. But the other night, I don't know why I didn't use my phone, but I like put on Netflix and like I was like, oh, I forgot about this movie and art show, because I literally would fall asleep mm-hmm. to that for like the longest time, because I also need background noise when I fall asleep too. So I started watching that. It's so calming and just so yeah. nice and so relaxing.
I posted the TED Talk on Facebook, and I would send it to y'all and tell you listen, but you never do, even though my birthday is next week. And I said, all I want for my birthday is both of you to listen to this TED Talk.
Well,
calm
down.
We got a week.
We have a week.
We got a week.
We literally have a week.
First of all, not crickets.
Days later.
I was working.
I'm glad that I mattered to both of you. Thank you.
Get
out.
Appreciate it. Listen,
I'm diva today.
I listen. And I will read things that people suggest to me. DJ's literally trying to stab himself with pliers.
Needle nose pliers.
But I have to do it when it feels right.
Okay.
I do. It's just like the Untamed book. Like, I couldn't read that until I was ready to read that, because I knew what it was going to be for me.
I 100% have to be like in a mood to do anything. That's kind of why I haven't been watching anything or doing any of that kind of shit. I have to be like in this zone to like take in certain things.
But if
like
you think for one second I'm not gonna watch that TED Talk for your fucking birthday, you're fucking crazy, because I'm going to, and we'll watch it, and
I'm gonna devour
it
like that fucking brownie. It's going down.
It's going down. Yes,
if
it
you
will
don't
be
listen
watched
to it before my
or
birthday
listened.
The contract is null and void. I don't want to talk about it then. Null and void.
But it will be listened to.
Mm-hmm.
You better be fucking ready, because I'm gonna go
I'm
hard
always
now.
Ready. I mean.
But no, I especially when you suggest something to me, I do make an effort to listen to it. Don't Bree's literally rolling her eyes at me.
I'm gonna give myself.
They're gonna get stuck.
Seizure from rolling my eyes so hard.
She is. She's on one. She's hungry.
I know that soup you made was bomb.
She's hungry. What else did I read? Oh, I read "Stay Sexy, Don't Get Murdered" by Karen Kilgariff. I didn't read it. I listened to it on Audible. But I downloaded that book when it first came out, and I finally listened to it, and I didn't realize that it was a dual memoir. So it's basically like them telling their story and talking about like basically just how they have gotten through life, and kind of like I didn't realize all the shit that they've been through. And like Karen talks about her mom's death and like how that affected her, and like her mom had Alzheimer's at the end of her life. Yeah. And like Georgia talks about like her story, like there's so much to it, but she talks about her story, and she talks about this one time how she like this photographer was like, oh, I'd love to photograph you, and he took her out to like somewhere in California and like had this beautiful backdrop and was like taking her pictures, and she was like, I shouldn't have gone. And then he was like, why don't you take off your top? And then, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's like and that's something that they preach on their show, is like, don't fucking go into the, you know, don't go anywhere with people, like
if it doesn't
whatever
feel right, don't. Yeah.
But she was like 19, and she like touches on that, and they're both huge advocates of therapy too, so like that's something that they talk about, is like how they go to therapy. Like there's just
Karen
much in that book.
Alcoholic, right?
Yeah,
or
she talks.
I can't remember.
She talks about how she was an alcoholic. Yeah. They both did drugs. Like she was an alcoholic and she did speed, and Georgia also was into drugs really heavy at like a really young age. Like she was in rehab at like 14 years old. So like they tell their story. It's so good. I highly, highly recommend that book. Like it the name is a little like when you read it, you think like that's their catchphrase, is like stay sexy, don't get murdered. Like that's their catchphrase on the show. But they really do, even on the show, they're super raw with like who they are and their experiences and what they've been through.
That's so refreshing.
It is. It's a really, really good read.
I honestly think that their podcast is probably my favorite.
Is that the name of the podcast?
The name of their podcast is My Favorite Murder, but they're like the way that they end their show is like stay sexy, don't get murdered.
And they're both like comedians.
They're
really funny.
And
like they make their podcast just it's really, really, really
but
great what they do.
Listening to that book was like so refreshing, because it was like Sam's like story, and you just got to really hear like their story, and it was nice. It was really nice. And there are some parts like in the Audible version anyway, where they read like chapters to like a crowd that they're in front of. So it's like, it's really cool.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I highly recommend that book. It's very inspiring. And they, like, I didn't realize either, like, before they started that podcast, like, they both, like, they were working and stuff, but, like, they live in LA, and, like, living in LA is super expensive, and, like, I didn't realize that, like, financially, like, they were just kind of, like, scraping by, and then, like, their podcast took off, and they always, like, at their live shows and everything, they always talk about how grateful they are and how much they appreciate their fans. So, like, reading the book. Well,
and they weren't friends before that. They, like, met
They had
randomly,
the same circle
right?
of friends, but, yeah, it was a random thing. And they talk about the thing that they bonded over is one of the things they bonded over was Brené Brown's Daring Greatly, because they both were reading that book
yes.
at the same time. Yeah. And about vulnerability and that kind of thing. Yes. So it's a really cool story, and it's cool to see like a dual memoir. It's interesting.
March is Social Worker Month. Is National Social
Is it?
Speaking of
it's
Brené
like
Brown.
Women's Month
yes.
too. Yeah.
So shout out to my favorite social worker and Carrie, or Brittany's, I would say, Carrie Cornell.
Yes. This episode's yes. probably going to come out in
yes.
April at some point, but we appreciate you all the time.
You. She's seriously amazing human.
She's a really, really amazing human.
She's like my, like, I like she's my deviation. Like, if I know if Carrie's pissed, shit's real. You know what I mean? I'm like,
I was thinking about Carrie. You're right. When Carrie's pissed, like,
because she's so like good at just like mediating things mm-hmm. and like bringing you back into focus and like really like, you know, not making a big deal out of things.
Yeah.
But I know something's really fucked up if Carrie's pissed.
Yeah.
Then it's I'm like, yeah, I'm mad
she
too.
She cares.
Yeah.
Yeah. She I was thinking about her the other day because I don't know. It was like I was thinking about one of our episodes. I think I was editing something and she said I think we were talking about like traumas or whatever, and you can't compare traumas.
Right.
And I remember going into her office at one point, and I can't remember even what we were talking about, but I just remember her saying something that kind of, that was like the first time I realized that like I can't compare my trauma to like somebody else's. And I can't even remember what she said. Like I can't even remember the context behind
right.
it, but I just remember how I felt leaving there thinking like, oh wow, like she has like a really valid point. Like my traumas matter too. Like you can't really compare oranges to apples or something. But yeah, I was thinking right. about her the other day because I was like thinking about like the first time I kind of realized like you can't compare traumas. Like everybody's trauma is specific to them and
exactly everyone's
whatever
story is their own.
Yeah. So is that all we got?
I believe so.
So this episode that you guys are going to hear is going to be different because we're interviewing someone, as you will find out. So
stay tuned. Please.
Thank you.
Oh, we're not telling them.
No.
We're not telling
Cliffhanger.
Them. Yep. Ooh. All right. So this is our first guest on Surviving Life.
Welcome. Thank
What's
you for your time.
We're so excited. And the reason that I chose this person to be our first guest is because I admire his determination and his drive and the fact that he's never given up on like what his dream is and making things actually happen. He's talented, aww, smart, funny, and kind, and throws his whole self into like what he's doing, and he believes in it, and he believes in the people that he works with. So our first guest is Caleb, aka W Got Bars. Welcome.
You.
Wow, that was the nicest thing anyone ever said about me.
Oh, good.
What an intro. I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here. This is cool. I've never actually done a like Zoom podcast like this, so I'm excited.
We haven't either, so we're all just popping our cherry here.
Wow.
Cool. I love this it. Is...
You're our first.
You're our first.
Yeah.
Don't ever leave me.
No.
Don't ever.
DJ's clinging. Everyone.
You need to get some dreads going. That hair is long.
I know. And
trust me, my guy. Every morning, it's a fucking struggle.
It has girth.
It
does.
All right.
I like it.
Appreciate you.
So I guess we're going to start by asking how you survived the pandemic, since that is like what's happening currently in the world.
Dude, the pandemic has, although it's crazy, and obviously there's a lot of negatives involved with it, but it forced me to stay inside for 6 months. And being that I need studio time and I have my own studio, I was just cranking stuff out.
Nice.
So it really allowed me to like dive into a lot of things and get some bigger overall objectives and goals musically. And I got a little better cooking on the stove, like panini master right now. Telling you, I got so much better at that. But yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, so I'm in Atlanta, so it's like, yeah, shit closed down,
yeah,
but like not really, not like PA,
like, not like Gettysburg
PA during the pandemic. Oh my gosh, not even close. Like everything was still open when you guys had everything closed up there. So I mean, all the bars were open down here.
What?
People were still doing their thing, you know. I mean, There was a small stretch of time where things were closed, but they didn't put anything in place that made it mandatory to close. So there was a lot of bars that still remained open. Granted, a lot of people weren't going.
Yeah.
But that being said, since they remained open, when things started rolling, you know, a lot of people started going a lot earlier than, you know, all the places
right up
north that I visited when the pandemic was going. So, I mean, yeah, it was a little crazy. It's like no one really cared down here, but that's why our numbers were one of the highest in the United States.
Well, you
yeah.
know damn well if we would have kept mamas open, man, everybody in Gettysburg would have had fucking COVID.
Yeah.
So
it's just a cesspool.
Yeah.
Oh, mamas. There are a lot of mamas down in Atlanta.
There's a lot of
yes,
mamas.
Yes, there is.
I believe it.
So many,
you know.
All right,
you know, but yeah, it's been cool. I've gotten a lot done and stuff. So, and it actually allowed me, because I bartend about 2 days a week now, and that was before the pandemic. I was bartending 5 days a week.
Yeah,
but that time of 5 months or so when I was furloughed, I got the ball rolling on enough things where financially I was good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Through music. And I knocked my hours down at the bar to 2 days a week, so that's where I'm at now. So it's been good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Helped me a lot. So
fun fact: yeah. Caleb was one of the people that taught me how to bartend.
I didn't know that.
He taught me how to make a chocolate pretzel shot or something.
What?
Yeah.
Oh shit! I don't even remember how to make that.
I don't know.
I could not even tell. I just know it has Frangelico in it. But
That's
I do
great.
Not remember.
I remember because after he taught me how to do that, that's what I would recommend to people. I'd be like, yeah, try this. Because
that's the only fucking
that's
thing.
That's the only
you
thing
know.
I could,
yeah.
like, know.
Oh, yeah. My bar knowledge hasn't, like, it's expanded for sure, but, like, it's not what I'm passionate about, so I just don't care as much.
Right. You retain what you need.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I can make you some shit, but I mean, like, don't, you know, don't do all that bougie stuff. And I'll Google that on the spot right at the bar. Like, all right, I'll look it up, you know.
But. All right. Well, so I guess, like, the reason we have you here is because of music. And that's the thing that you seem to be passionate about and the thing that seems to have gotten you through your life. So what first got you into music?
First got me into music. I started drumming. I was you know, the whole pots and pans story, you know, I was banging on shit and got a couple, you know, drum sets when I was younger in like first, second grade. And I kept drumming. I joined the band for a couple years and then realized like they just weren't letting me on a drum set. So I quit and I took private lessons. But in that meantime, that's when like Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park,
oh,
POD,
yeah.
they were starting to be on the rise. So that's like what my first inspirations were.
Interesting.
And then I kind of started writing in like fourth, fifth grade, like really shitty stuff.
Give us a synopsis.
Like, what's that?
Give us a synopsis, like a...
Give us one of your lyrics.
Yeah.
Do you remember even?
I don't know.
Do it, you won't.
I remember one, the hook, I kept saying, I'm a motherfucking roller. Like,
I yeah, you are.
Like, what is that? yeah, there's some that just can't be, yeah, they're bad. But probably around eighth grade, seventh, eighth grade is when I started playing more AAU ball. And I had always balled a lot, but that was when I was probably, I was playing like every day, all day.
Did you have Iverson's? With,
I don't think I ever owned Iverson's.
No, you were an Allen Iverson fan.
I think he might have missed the ball on Iverson's. They were like, when I was in sixth grade, Iverson's were like real popular.
Yeah.
I had T-Macs. I had a lot of different T-Macs.
There you
T-Macs.
Go.
Oh, okay.
But I did have some Iverson finger bands.
Oh.
Wristbands.
Yep.
You can't even play with those. They're so stupid. It's like wrapping your finger in a washcloth. Like, you have to have ginormous hands for those to even be considered usable. But, yeah, so I was kind of playing ball the whole time through those summers and during the year. And I was kind of just thrown into a completely different culture. Being I was like one of the only white people on the team, most of the time was the only white person around in general. And, you know, they weren't listening to Limp Bizkit, that's for sure. So, you know, that's when I started hearing, you know, I remember when we were driving up to Nationals for a tournament and we had Shoulder Lean on repeat. And
oh my God.
Have head. Mercy.
That was my fucking
a lot of Lil Wayne. And that inspired me to start like writing hip hop shit. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Just being around them, you know all those guys.
Yeah.
DJ Fest and stuff. So, it kind of pushed me into that direction. And,
did you go to Gettysburg?
You know, and everybody, I did. So I went,
yeah, he went to Gettysburg.
Oh, okay.
Alone for 2 years. And then, because I had played football with the guys from DeLone for a while, and I played basketball with them, so I wanted to play ball there, and they always had a really good team. But by my second year, like, I absolutely hated it, and I stopped playing football to focus on basketball. So since I'm always balling with everyone in Gettysburg, I thought I might as well just go to Gettysburg, because I just wasn't liking DeLone at all. So I transferred. I was able to play with those guys even more and stuff. So and I started just writing and recording, and then, you know, some of my closest friends were rapping as well. So you know, my first group was LBC, the Local Boy Click.
Oh my God. Yeah,
I love that.
And we started recording, and that's all we did was play basketball. And when we were tired from basketball, we would go home and make music on our shitty little microphones, and we'd just be writing and writing and writing all the time. So,
sounds like a perfect life, though, when you're in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, my God. I always think back. Those are the best times, man.
Yeah.
It's like carefree. You know, you didn't think about anything financially. You know, you had all the time in the world. So those were definitely some really memorable times. When I was very influenced by that music and stuff. So, and then from there, you know, I just kept pushing. I kept doing it, figured out how to make it sound better, just kept working on the craft, and still doing that shit. So
when did Team Loco start? Did that start in high school?
So,
because that was like a whole movement about around here for a little bit.
It was.
Everybody had it on.
Yeah. And it's still actually like my LLC for my business license.
So. Oh, yeah.
It's still like the legal entity behind like all the music that I'm making. But Team Loco actually started in college with one of my roommates who was basically like my right-hand man. He was my hype guy. He was always on stage with me. And we had been doing a couple shows, and we were like, we need to be able to make some type of movement to unify the fan base. And we did a lot of crazy shit, and we were just out of hand sometimes, and we just kind of rolled with that. We were always having parties as college, you know?
Yeah.
So, we rolled with it, and it was cool, and it was easy to represent through college because we were idiots. And I noticed, you know, after college, when I started finding my focus and kind of not being as loco, if you will, I kind of fell out of love with the concept and the name and the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was working with Pete, you know, he was helping me with the clothing line and stuff. And we were coming up with really cool looking stuff, but deep down, the brand wasn't speaking to me anymore.
Yeah.
And we just decided to, wash it and just, you know, and kind of stop pushing the Team Loco thing. I mean, I know tons of people who still have the gear and stuff.
I still
like
have
that,
my Team Loco gear.
We survived
Team
Loco.
Oh yeah, yeah, we did. We mentioned this on the show before, where we went to see you guys at one of the fraternities that you played at
in a dingy dark basement.
In Gettysburg.
And they asked us if we were in charge.
And they're like, "Are you guys in charge?
Are we alumni?" So we were still in our 20s then. So
yeah,
we
still young.
Nope, I was in my 30s.
Oh well, DJ and I were still in our 20s.
Yeah,
so we promptly left.
I wonder which
left.
One that was. I'm assuming it was the Gettysburg College.
Yeah. 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 Yep.
So we promptly left.
We did two of those. The first one went really well. And the second one, I don't know which one you guys were at.
It was the second one.
That second one, like, you couldn't hear a damn thing. You couldn't hear shit. I mean, you could hardly hear you could only hear like the drums and the bass. I mean, it was the first one. I don't know what happened, what was up with the speakers or whatever, but. Yeah, it was hard to hear in that thing, but you know, it's a party. No one actually gave a shit.
Yeah, the college kids were having a good time.
Yeah,
they were. I mean, you guys were great.
Yeah.
You guys were great. And I've gone to see you guys before that too, but.
Our pride was just bruised. Our egos were shit
it's
on.
Fine.
So we went to Mama's awesome. And drank our sorrows away.
Hey, as you should.
As one
as
does.
Do we all when we're in town. Right?
Yeah. All right.
Nothing like some plastic cups for mom.
Amen. Amen.
I miss those prices, man.
Yeah,
Atlanta doesn't
I bet you
play
do.
Like that.
Oh,
no, Atlanta
no.
does not play.
No. Oh, my God.
I've been to
like,
Atlanta a few
30
times.
Bucks, for $30, I can get three like kind of like weak-ass drinks. Here,
yeah.
And for $30, you're blacked out at Mama's.
Yes,
fuck yeah,
like,
dude.
Buy
yourself two 6-packs of Natty Pounders and be
oh
good
my
to go.
God.
Fuck yeah, walk around with them on your hip. You good?
Yep.
They were the best.
They don't
of
do
times.
That down here.
They were the worst of times.
I missed that. But
that's great. So
yeah, so the name kind of faded. You know, I just kind of wasn't rolling with it. You know, and especially when I decided to move to Atlanta, I was solo, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Team Loco, when it first started out and started building, encompassed like 6 different people, a couple other artists, we had DJs, photographers, and we had a little like set rolling around all of our shows and stuff. And we were doing a lot of shows and it was really dope and it was rolling. But yeah,
I mean that's a lot to do
though with that many people and wanting to do your own thing. I mean, not your own thing, but like, you know, make a career out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to talk down on anybody, but it turned into me just feeling like I was just supporting the movement too much without any help. From the people who were
supposed
representing it and wanting all the benefits of it and
right.
being a part of it, but not actually contributing to it. And,
yeah.
And, you know, weight wasn't pulled. And that was one of the reasons why I left and went down to Atlanta, just to kind of refocus and just focus on my shit and myself rather than putting energy towards other people that clearly like didn't really want to do it as much. So
well, you were like actually also you're also actually trying to like build a career off of this, and Atlanta's the spot to like be for what you want to do too.
Your last like 2 sentences disappeared.
Oh yeah. It's fine, we keep cutting. No, I just said that like Atlanta's the spot that you want to be to actually pursue a career in what in music the way that you want. So
I mean, wait, so when I talk, does my shit cut out like a lot?
No, it's cut out, but it doesn't cut out enough that we can't piece it together.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had my options were Atlanta and the Bay Area. Those were the 2 places I was looking at just
San
because
Fran.
I had connections in either.
Money wise though,
but
Atlanta's that move.
Yeah.
San Fran
for
is
sure.
retarded expensive.
California's just so
yeah.
so expensive
yeah,
to
sure.
live.
And Atlanta's so cool because it's such an open city. It's such a green city. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm 12 minutes away from the city and I'm surrounded by woods, you know?
Oh.
So it's
nice.
Pretty cool
yeah.
Being that close to the city, but not feeling like you're in a, you know, living in Philly.
Right.
Right.
And I had a decent amount of connections down here that I had been working with, you know, through just emails and recording and stuff in PA. So it just made sense to just cultivate those relationships and actually have a foot in the door as far as knowing some people down here. And I linked with all of them when I came down here, and that just kind of grew to all the people that I've been working with since I've been down here. So
yeah, you're churning out lots of music.
Yeah, sometimes it's like too much a little bit. Like, I can't like, hone in on one because I just do something with this guy over here, and then a week after I drop my stuff, like, you know, that song will drop.
Mm-hmm.
And then a feature I forgot about 2 months ago ends up dropping that I didn't know. And then it's just like, it gets a little jumbled sometimes, but whatever. I love doing it. So
good.
Rolling.
What just came out? Right. Capsize?
Yeah, yeah.
I just listened to that Capsize, the other day.
Yeah, just a little ditty bop.
Bob. I love your just production quality of all your songs, because it's fucking great, just the little like things.
Appreciate
that you put
it.
In but
shout out Jason Schaefer Full Tilt Productions. He does all the final mixing. So
oh,
I, like,
really?
Recorded it here, and then I send him it to make it sound like prettier.
And I love
you. Almost there, though. I'm this close to being able to like feel completely comfortable with
producing
my releases. But that's been doing it for years, and I just like trust his ear, so I can just
send
him my outline, and he'll just kind of touch it up so it sounds perfect.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm breaking.
You did break a little bit, but we got it.
Nice.
Who like comes up with your artwork for your album work too? Because that like that was one thing I was looking at, like kind of preparing for this, and
yeah,
specifically Capsize, because I was looking at that and I was like, this kind of looks like one of the Fallout covers for one of the Fallout games. That's what it reminded me of.
It reminded me of the Titanic.
Honestly, man, I never played Fallout.
Captain was
so
going down
know.
With his ship.
That was, that was the look for it. I hope he doesn't hear this, but I'm gonna like butcher his name. It's spelled Haakon.
I've
been calling him. What it sounds like, not what it looks like, and I never knew how to properly say his name. So I've been calling him Haakon for 8 years. But I don't actually have to, like, you know, say it. You know, I've never talked to him in person. I've just, it's always emails and DMs and stuff, because he's from, I believe, the Netherlands.
Mm. Oh, wow.
But he comes over here a lot. And one of my buddies linked us up, just a long, long time ago. And he's like my go-to guy to get shit done as far as covers go. And he's just super talented. And we've just been working together for a long time. So he's done most of my covers, I would say, like 75% of them. Haakon Hurt. Haakon Hurt. Oh, he's going to hate that shit.
It's fine. It's probably fine.
He made a huge post about how to pronounce his name, too. And I remember it, but I just don't remember what he said about it, how to pronounce his name. I just remember him making a post about it.
Well, it's Haakon now.
Yeah, that should be his tag right there.
It's Haakon now. So how old were you when you recorded your first album, like your first like full album?
I grew up in the mixtape era, so
okay, that's fair.
I think the majority of the projects that I dropped were never actually considered albums until I did Heart and Havoc.
I was gonna say that's my favorite.
I appreciate it. That would probably be my first actual album.
Okay.
But like with LBC, we dropped the 18 song mixtape, and that was 8th grade going into freshman year in high school, I believe, or maybe freshman year in high school, like just going into sophomore year, somewhere around there.
I definitely was not doing that in 8th grade.
Yeah,
I wasn't either.
I mean,
but I was listening to all those fucking mixtapes, man. That shit was on fire.
And that was that, like, we were scrounging for money. I mean, so we went to this guy's studio in Chambersburg, and it was kind of like a shed in the back of his house, but like all sorts of crazy equipment. Auto-tune wasn't a thing back then. And we tried to make him do like one of the songs with an auto-tune vibe, and it was just the silliest sounding thing. We're like, man, this is auto-tune. How do they sound like way better than this? But
we didn't do T-Pain justice.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Neither did we. So
yeah, it's fine.
He was an old guy. Like, his shit was pretty dated.
I'm glad you said that because we fucking butchered one of his songs the other day.
Like, we did. We recorded an episode the other day. And it was so bad.
None of us can rap.
Wait, who?
T-Pain.
T-Pain.
Oh, shit.
We like tried to remember the lyric to the song and it was, oh, God.
It's fine.
We simultaneously said the wrong lyric at the same time. Like, all of us.
So you wonder how many other people probably think that lyric is the actual.
No, we were confident though that it was.
We
right.
were so
we were
confident.
Like, yeah.
We're like, yeah.
Yeah. And then DJ like,
you're not alone. You're not alone.
You're not alone. He says.
I love it.
No, but T-Pain can actually sing though. We were all talking like his tiny.
Oh, yeah.
Do you do the NPR Tiny Desk concert?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, like
sure.
He crushes it on there. Like it's crazy.
Wait, I have.
Yeah, he's dope. He's so talented.
Yeah.
He's so talented.
I wish he would have never done the auto-tune.
Here's the other thing business. About Caleb that's great is not only can he rap really well, but he can sing really well too.
Oh, really?
He has a beautiful fucking voice, just so everybody knows.
Let's put him on the
voice
spot.
Voice of an angel.
Let's put him on the spot.
That's what. No, no you don't have
sing
to sing.
Sing for us. Sing for us.
I'm not a singer. Yeah.
Oh. But
I dabble and you know, one day out of the month, like I'm feeling pretty good and I can hit some notes, but like I don't consider myself a singer. I think I know how to finagle it and get by.
Well, you never
I can
know.
Hold some notes.
You can.
You never know.
I always think that, but I'm always playing the music too loud. So I like I'm hearing them instead of me, but I think I'm singing. I'm like, yo, fuck yeah, I sound great.
Well, didn't Chris Brown and Trey Songz
like
start as rappers?
Who?
Chris Brown and Trey Songz, they started as rappers and then they sang.
Yeah.
So you
I
never know.
So.
Chris Brown started as a dancer.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains
he started dancing
lot.
And he like I don't know where the transition was, but he was dancing like in like competitions and stuff for a while. Actually, there was Job, I don't know if you guys know Job when he was in Gettysburg, but he danced.
I don't know.
Not with Chris Brown, but against him.
Oh,
Jacob
no shit.
And Job Johnson.
Oh, that's awesome.
You guys don't remember them?
No.
I don't know if I should say last names on here.
That's fine.
Fuck, man. We talk about everybody.
We literally talk about everybody.
I just assume people from Gettysburg are listening to this, so I'm just like calling them out.
Yeah, right. But I want to be a better singer, but, you know.
I mean, I think you got a pretty great voice, but.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You got a fan in Brittany.
I'm waiting for the singing to drop, so
it's fine because we're gonna post all the links to everything, so like everybody will be able to hear. So wait, let's talk about family support. How has your family been through like your career? I would imagine they've been like super supportive of you just chasing your dreams and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, they've definitely always supported it. I mean, I think in the beginning, you know, it was kind of confusing for them. Like, you know, I've been asking for studio money for my birthday and for Christmas since 7th, 8th grade. And my mom, you know, I've been asking for that for so many birthdays and Christmases. And it one year, like she just wouldn't give it to me because she thought it was just a boring gift. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She'll buy me like pajamas and stuff.
Right.
That's a mom thing to do.
But I remember the year she finally did give me like a check that got me 8 hours of studio time. And like back then it was just harder for me to, you know, all the money I had, I would always save up so I could get sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And that took a while. And even with my dad, you know, he always supported me from the jump, but he definitely always threw out ideas of like, you know, why don't you do this or do this in school, or you could, you know, little like ideas. And I think, after like the 50th time of me saying like, well, how am I going to do that when I'm doing music? You know, I'm like, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm striving for. He kind of just got it and understood. And yeah, they've always supported me. And my mom doesn't like some of my lyrics sometimes.
Do you ever get nervous about that? People hearing maybe like if you write it, like your thoughts, like I don't with this like recording. Sometimes I'm like, oh hell, I said that, and people are gonna hear it.
Oh yeah, the 5th episode for us came out today, so this is kind of new for us of people hearing what our, we have to.
Yeah, because we don't rehearse any of this. It's just off the fly, and we don't tell each other our stories or anything. And it's like, as Brene Brown would say, a vulnerability hangover. And I'm just like, fuck.
True. No, yeah. I think I got past that stage.
Yeah.
Like a while back. I mean, it does come up here and there, and you know, depending on the song, you know, I've definitely tried to. I tried to like make things a little bit more radio friendly, or at least easier to edit.
Mm-hmm.
As of late, you know, I'll throw in some curse words in there, but I try to keep the vocabulary, you know, respectable and show that I can say everything I need to say without fuck this, fuck that, bitch this, bitch that. You know what I mean? So
you're a very good lyricist. Is that the word?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I appreciate it. I try. I really do. But yeah, I don't know. I think there are times where I'm like, oh, mom's not gonna like this one. This shit sounds good just how it is, and I'm not changing it for mom. You know, she's not banging this out in the whip. So,
well, she might. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, she might, but very doubtful. She likes Keith Urban too much.
Oh my god!
I love that.
That's her guy.
That's her man.
So wait, what go ahead.
No, yeah, I was just saying, like, yeah, I don't think about it as much anymore. I don't think it really matters, you know.
Yeah.
I'm older now, so I mean, I'm living under my own roof, and I got my own studio. I'm doing my own thing, so I can say shit.
Fuck you.
Yeah. So, what did you listen to growing up then? Like, what was playing in your house as a kid before Limp Bizkit and all of that?
Like what I was playing, or
what your parents were playing? Like, what were you first exposed to? I guess is what I'm asking.
105.7 The X.
Yes.
Probably the main station. And I still listen to that when I come up. I know it's not 105.7 The X anymore. I think it's just 105.7. I don't know. Maybe it is The X. I don't know.
But it's been a long time since I listened to 105.7. But
yeah.
Well, I always, when I come up, I try to listen to the morning show because it's on until 12.
Is it the same three people?
Yeah, it's the same.
Earl, Jen, and
Nipsey
or whatever.
Oh, hell.
Yeah.
Oh, hell.
They've been doing it for 20 years. So,
oh, my God.
My mom and dad would be playing that all the time. That was like the main thing they listened to.
Yeah.
But talk about a genre taste change for them.
No doubt.
Yeah, my mom listens to great country now, maybe more singer songwriter stuff too, but a lot of country.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's more on like the jazz end of things. He likes the jazz.
Oh, that's
likes,
cool.
You know, Coltrane, some Frank Sinatra, but he's the one he bought like the Soundbox Outkast album.
Oh, really?
That's fucking awesome.
That's awesome.
That was my first time listening to that. You know, because it has jazz influences. He's like intrigued. He's always like very intrigued at some art. So, I mean, I got a Mac Miller's Circles album on vinyl for Christmas because it has like jazzy elements.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like force hip hop upon him, you know.
Well, speaking of Mac Miller's Tiny Desk concert is my favorite. It's so good.
It's amazing.
So
good. I've watched that concert.
It gives me goosebumps to listen to it. That, yeah, so good.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah, that.
Yes,
that,
literally.
Is that like Spotify? Can you listen to Tiny Desk concerts like not on YouTube?
I would
definitely just listen to that shit.
I do on YouTube. I always put it on. Like,
I don't know if you can listen to it like on iTunes or like something like that. That'd be cool if you could. If NPR had its
he killed that, truly.
Yeah. Anderson .Paak was probably my second favorite on that Tiny Desk concert. If you haven't seen that one,
who is it? We both are like Anderson .Paak.
Brittany
Howard. Guys would love his shit. Shit is crazy.
We're going to write
he's
that
one
down.
He's a like rapper, singer, producer, plays every instrument.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, he's gnarly.
Nice.
Yeah, you would definitely like it.
Yeah, Brittany Howard from Alabama Shakes, hers is really good too.
See, I'm not familiar with that one, but I'm all about the Tiny Desk.
Yes.
I would love to do one of their shows.
Oh, yeah. So what's your songwriting process like? I'm always intrigued by like somebody who writes a song because I would not even know how to begin with that.
Yeah, it's usually, you know, I usually listen to beats. I got a lot of producers that I work with, so they're sending me big packs of beats all the time. So
right.
I'll kind of sift through, and you know, when one kind of strikes my ear, you kind of let the beat take you to whatever emotional place that it can take you. and like whatever that makes you feel is just kind of like what's going on paper. That's usually the first thing, like to get the feeling from the instrumental, and then from there, you know, when it comes to like the hook stuff or the catchy singing stuff, I'll usually, something doesn't strike me right away, I'll usually like hum melodies and stuff like that, and when I'm digging one of the progressions, then I'll start putting words into that. But most of the times I'll start with a hook and just get that key bass that really creates the subject matter for what the song can be, and then fill in the verses after that. And I think it's all downhill once you get the hook down, it's always downhill from there.
Yeah.
For the songwriting process. So, but yeah, it's nothing crazy.
It always starts with the beat first, though.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It definitely starts with the beat. I mean, I've definitely had ideas and stuff just like without a beat, but sometimes, you know, the way you make those ideas, they don't match up with anything. So it's like putting them to something is a little bit harder because like I don't play the piano. I've made beats on my program, but I'm not a producer in that sense. So what might take a producer 2 hours to make, it's going to take me like 2 days.
Right.
And I just would rather work with a producer who can already make that shit so I can just focus on the vocals.
Right.
You know, that's how it be.
That's how it be.
That's interesting though. That you use the beat before you do anything like that. I don't know. That's just, it's neat to see a little behind the scenes of that because I never would have thought that.
Yeah, I always thought like maybe like a lyrics or something would pop into your
head. That's kind of what I thought too, is like lyrics first and then the beat. But that makes more sense though.
I mean, there are definitely like, I wouldn't say like lyrics would come beforehand, but there are definitely a lot of instances where I'll jot down notes of like a line or like a subject matter or a word that is unique or potentially incorporate into something later.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily come out the same way as the idea was written down, you know?
Yeah.
Depends on the beat, and it depends on like how fast the beat is, the emotions of the beat, and you know, I gotta transform it so it works with the instrumentation.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. It's funny because I watched an interview with Lizzo, and she like the one line that she has in her song is like, why a man great till he gotta be great. She's like, I just thought of that one day like after a breakup or something, and I wrote that down. She's like, I'm gonna use this one day, and like now that's like
one of them hard ass one-liners.
Yeah.
So simple, but it does everything that you need it to.
Yeah.
Those are the hardest ones to come up with. Ooh,
spider.
Did you get it?
I'm not a fan of bugs. Yeah, I smashed it right up.
Fuck yeah.
Right in my writing book. Right
there. Oh, splat.
I love it.
Yeah, I still write on paper, like the Stone Age people. I don't think I work with one. Well, I work with literally one other person I can think of out of the tons of people I work with that still uses paper. Everyone else writes on their phone.
I would want paper.
I get it.
Yeah.
I would too. I want paper. If I have to write a thought out or something, I usually go with the pen and the paper. It just seems natural to me, and I feel like I can get
it
out
better.
It's
real. It's tangible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always run into this problem though at all except for my studio. I have like 50 lights in here, but a lot of studios are very dark.
It probably works better with the phone.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and then those are always those circumstances where I'm like, shit, I need to get with the times.
You need a book
light on my damn phone.
A book light.
I mean, there's been times where I have somebody behind me holding their phone light on my book because I'm the only one in the damn building that's using a book.
No, man, right. I'm telling you, just get a book light. It clips on and it like hovers over.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, I have one on my bed, but I never think to like
bring it with you
to the studio, you know.
They're don't not mind gonna me have my book light.
Well, you could get yourself a hard hat and like look like a coal miner and
just
strap one
that
of those things on there. You'd be good to go.
How are those headphones gonna fit?
Oh, well, that's true.
No, they have the ones that are like strapping out. The straps are like smaller now.
Oh,
so
my
the
God.
Lights, like,
wow.
Yeah.
Here we are.
But yeah, I got to get with it. I mean, and it's funny, you go to the studio, you think, can someone turn on a light? And everyone's like, that's going to kill the vibe. Okay, fucking A. I'm fucking blind over here. But I'm the outcast in that regard.
No, we write all of our stuff down. I don't think any of us use a computer. Like whenever we're like doing this podcast, we all have like notes and I have 1,000 notebooks. Like
I lose my spot on a phone.
I do too.
Even though phones are getting bigger, I still lose my shit. Like I'm like, I can't. Where the fuck was I at?
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. Is it like Lil Wayne that like types Drake. On a BlackBerry or Drake?
Drake does it, I think, like
probably
that.
Drake.
Yeah.
Wayne doesn't really write anything.
Oh, yeah. He like just is like off the head. Yeah.
He'll just have him just loop it until he gets a line, and then he'll lay that line down, lay a couple lines down, and yeah, just doesn't write anything. I've tried that way before, and it's like, it's very doable. People think like, oh, they just sit there and like freestyle their whole verses. It's like, no, I mean, maybe sometimes, but for the most part, you know, they're looping it back around after they lay down a couple lines and they're sitting there thinking about the next line and then they lay it down. And you can do that, but when you're by yourself recording, it's a longer process if you don't have an engineer that can like loop it for you and mix it and put things into place, you know. So it's a cool, I got my buddy Cash that I work with, that he doesn't write shitty. I mean, he'll write some things here and there, but yeah, he'll stand there and just have me loop it back and back and back until he gets his verse down. And like, dude, I'm like, how do you remember your fucking verses? Like, I'm like writing shit all the time. And sometimes I got to go back and like, even sometimes when I release a song and like, I have to do a little video for it, you know, I got to go over it like 20 times because after I write it, I record it. And then I don't, you know, I haven't done a show in like 8-9 months.
So yeah.
I haven't even tried to like overly memorize my shit.
You'd have to remember your fucking lyrics. That's crazy.
And sometimes like, yeah, it's weird. You know, I always remember like 75% of them no matter what.
Yeah. You need somebody there with like cue cards the next time you do a show or like a prompter.
Well, if I have a show, like I'll practice. I'll make sure that shit's down. But not having any shows, it's like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Until I got a set list to worry about, you know. But even Capsize, like, I think I'm pretty straight on Capsize because I had to do a video for it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you got to do 20, 30 takes of this video shooting. It gets ingrained in your brain. But if you didn't do a video, then it kind of, I don't know, I just forget.
So who comes up with like the, I don't even know the proper term, like, but the video concept and like the art direction and all that stuff for your videos? Because I've obviously watched all your videos and I've seen some familiar faces in some of them, especially when you were in PA, but is that all you or is that?
Yeah. So all the PA videos, as far as the ones that have actual concepts and storylines, I make big ass spreadsheets of all, you know, the concepts, the stories. I mean, even like the swing video, if you guys have seen it, I made a whole like backlog of like a history behind it just in case
what?
I needed to explain. Yeah. So I have like a history.
That's
of,
fucking awesome.
Like the different characters and the different factions and how they came to be.
Yeah.
Things like that. You
You're
know?
Like a fucking character actor, man. You figuring that shit out. You got your
I can write it on paper, but I need somebody there to like help me bring it to life. And that's where Brad comes in. And Brad did all my earlier videos, and he's just so skilled behind the camera and the editing. You know, I give him all, I know he gets so annoyed with like the amount of write-ups that I send, like especially for Swing. I mean, I sent him just an annoying amount of like treatments for different scenes and like what I wanted and like just, you know, down to like make sure the chest plate of this person is showing in this part. And,
oh my God.
You know, like certain things with the costuming and stuff like that. Since I've been down in Atlanta, I don't have Brad with me, so it's like I haven't been able to get as creative as I've wanted to, because a lot of the people that are filming with Brad's quality and as good as he can do down here, it's like the price are astronomical,
right?
And then you know, even the guys that I work with now who are great, I still try to keep some of the things relatively simple, because when you start throwing in actors and locations and scenes and different days of shooting, that price definitely climbs. I mean, just the swing, that was like There was a 1 day shoot, and then we had 3 day shoot back to back to back. You know, in between those shoots, I was learning to ride a horse. We were building fucking multiple scenes and stuff. We had to go to this horse farm, like get permission to like build these scenes in the middle of where the horses were grazing, and like.
I remember that video. It was very like cinematic.
Yeah,
I was very impressed with that video.
Yeah, that was a fun one. That was a very stressful thing, but it was definitely like a lot of fun, like getting that to come to life the way it did. So, but yeah, I think as of now, and I've been thinking about it more, especially for this upcoming year, about getting back to getting a couple of those like crazy, weird concepts down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love doing that. I just kind of felt that I didn't have the personnel down here. You know, if I need actors and stuff in PA, I know a lot of people up there. So it was very easy for me to gather a crowd and get a bunch of people. When you're down here, you know, I know a shit ton of artists and producers, but actors and video people and places that I can use as locations, you know, I don't know down here the way I know Pennsylvania. So
right. It's
just a little bit different, you know. Something to get used to. That's why my last couple of videos are like, all right, bring the gang in the room, let's mob out and have a good ass time.
Well, like, didn't you guys like, I can't remember which video it was for, but didn't you like rent out like a cabin or like something?
Yeah. That's I started hosting something down here called Cook Cabin. So
what?
We just had the second one, and the third one's going to be in August. And basically, we ran out of cabin for about a week. The first one, we had 12 artists and producers. This last one, we had about 17 artists and producers. And we just go crazy. We have 5 studios in there and just work the entire time. And and it's just a fun time. It's a cool way to bond with people and really like get to know people. And it's just a great way to bounce energy and create music and create anything, really.
That's really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. And this last one, the cabin was so up in the boonies that no one had cell service. It took me 14 hours to post a story. So we just fucking gave up, and it really let everyone like put their phones down and just get to it and not even think about that social media aspect.
And just be like creative.
It was super helpful, you know. You know those people that are just, if they're not recording, they'll be on their phone the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, so it made you have to communicate with people that you didn't know, you're just meeting, and it really helped for the experience.
Oh, that's awesome.
To bond and stuff. Yeah, it was cool.
I like
Very
that.
Cool time.
All right. I think my last question is going to be how music has helped you just throughout life.
How did you survive with music?
Any particular instances?
It's crazy because sometimes I always think of like, what in the fuck would I do without music? Like bartending? Nah, you just shoot me right now. Like, no, like no shot. I always have thought of that. I'm like, I don't know what I would do. Like, I don't know, like maybe I would be a dog walker or something. I don't know.
Wait, you have dogs. You have 2 dogs? Am I right?
Yeah, I got one. I got one at my feet right now.
What?
She sleeps under my studio desk when I'm recording. She's like my studio pup.
My studio pup.
I'd bring her up here, but it's kind of hard to get in the camera.
Yeah.
But man, as far as just like survival, I mean, it definitely made me have to branch out and do things that I wasn't necessarily comfortable doing, which kind of has helped me through life in different situations, strangely enough. Like just having to go out of your comfort zone and meet people and talk to people and be in very sketchy locations for more times than I can account for, and just kind of forcing yourself to deal with things that aren't easy. When you're basically just trying to express your art to people, and you realize that in this industry, you got to do a lot of shit that's like, I don't feel like doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to go there. I got to talk to who? I got to what? I got, like, you know, there's just a lot of circumstances that kind of prepare you for just more regular everyday things in life. I'm trying to think of just very specific examples, but there's just so many. I mean,
yeah.
And on top of that, music has allowed me to just meet so many people, you know, so many different people, thanks to the internet, just all over the world. You know, and like, I just saw this guy who I did a hook for in Thailand. Like, our names are on this like magazine cover in Thailand.
That's fucking nuts. Because
our song is like doing cool. I was like, what in the hell is going on? What is it?
That's wild.
It's just, you know what I mean? It's just like random. Yeah. It's just interesting, but
that's awesome.
As far as survival, like, honestly, like I cannot think of what I would do in life without music. And probably as far as my earlier days, like nothing good would came out of it. I would just be doing stupid shit.
Yeah.
You know? And even with music in my life, I got in trouble enough times. So without it being there, I don't know. But it's always kind of in the back of my mind. It's always kind of what keeps me focused and knowing that's what I want to do. And like, I'm not going to go out tonight. I'm going to hone in over here. And I've been working with that mindset. I think it's just helped me, like, you know, not just do less stupid shit.
It sounds like music gave you a focus.
Yeah.
Like a purpose.
Your purpose. Yeah. You have drive and aspirations. And that's why you're our first guest, because I really appreciate that about you.
I appreciate you. I think music kind of motivates everybody in some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it dictates sometimes how you're feeling and your emotions and stuff like that. I think it just pulls me a little bit more intensely. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just babbling.
I'm just babbling.
The story of our life.
Well, we're super engaged. We're like, this is amazing. All right. Well, do you guys have any other questions for Caleb?
I got some beef with you, man.
Oh, he's got beef.
You're a Packers fan.
Oh, TJ, really?
I'm a Vikings fan.
For our listeners, Caleb right now on Zoom is like turning around like he's about to like throw down.
Actually, I don't think it's beef. I just can y'all take a year off and just like let my team shine just a little bit.
If I could bring this camera to the room, I have a fucking Packers shrine.
Goodness gracious. I got nothing against them, though, man. It's all love. They're fucking amazing.
Well, they're fucking being clowns right now. I was just literally before this interview driving home looking at their off-season failures of moves.
Right.
Just pissing yourself off.
The only thing I know about the Green Bay Packers is Brett Favre.
Brett Favre, legend. What? Hey, listen, he's part of both the histories.
Yeah, that's very true. And he's what made me like the Packers in second grade. I saw him doing his shit on TV. I was like, whoever that team is, I like that team.
There you go.
I love that. Whoever that team is. Like
y'all got
team.
The MVP, so, you know, I can't really say much about that.
Yeah, they're not helping him out, though. They're not getting anybody. We're going to release some of the best players that we have, and we'll, you know, maybe pick up somebody, but probably not likely.
Yeah.
The owner just said today that he doesn't think that they'll be able to make too many off-season moves. Like, bro. Talk about pissing off the fan base. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean,
all we want to happen. Like,
they got a slew of running backs, though. I'll tell you what. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if anything did happen or if it's going to happen with Aaron Jones, but I like A.J. Dillon. That boy's a beast.
I do, too. I think we're good in the running back category.
Yeah.
I know they're going to let one of them go.
But, yeah.
Either way, it will be sad when one of them leaves, but. We just need to pick up a receiver. Stop fucking around. Come on, guys. Just fucking pay somebody.
Y'all got a good receiver, but you need that second one for sure.
Yeah, we have a good number one, and then everyone else is like a number three.
Yeah.
If.
Yeah, 100%.
Shit, I can catch better than some of them.
Well, no, man, but like, for real, though, like, I think the fact that, you know, that we grew up in the same spot, and it's all very inspirational, man, what you're doing. And I know everybody here, like, loves you. You have a huge fan base here. I mean, you have a huge fan base everywhere. But I just want to tell you that we're all proud of you back home. And we all love you, man. Keep grinding and keep doing your thing.
The feeling's mutual, man. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, no problem.
Very much. It really does mean a lot. It means a lot when I know that people, especially from my hometown, are still listening and interested in it and stuff, because, you know, that's where it all started. So I want there to always be, you know, just listeners there, people that still just enjoy the music and enjoy, you know, seeing the work come to life and stuff like that. So it means
absolutely
a lot. Hell yeah.
Awesome. I love it. So fucking where can awesome. People find you, Caleb?
What's your address?
In Atlanta.
What is your address in Atlanta?
No.
Let me drop that. I'm gonna send y'all right to the Pink Pony Strip Club.
Oh, mercy. DJ's like, I'm there. Where's the next flight out?
I'm all right with that. Yeah, I'll be there.
That's original. The Pink Pony.
They just went out of business.
Oh shit.
COVID times is hard.
Be sitting in the fucking parking lot with a roll of ones.
DJ's ready.
But yeah, at W Got Bars on everything. So DUBBYGOTBARS, www.wgotbars.com. Yeah, it's just W Got Bars everywhere. So.
Everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Follow them.
Apple Music. All that stuff, right?
All the socials.
All the socials. Yeah. Awesome. Try to keep it simple. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being our first guest.
Yes,
thank you for coming on, man.
We appreciate you.
Thank you for your time.
And we love your story. Absolutely. So
I appreciate you guys. And hey, if you know, when you get this thing rolling more, like, let's do it again.
Fuck
yes. Yes.
Let's do it down the road. And I can't wait to see who else you guys bring on. But this has been super fun. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Fuck
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening to our first interview with Caleb. You can find him on any social media platform at W Got Bars. And you can find us at Surviving Life on Facebook. You can find us at Surviving Life Pod on Instagram and Surviving Life 15 on Twitter. And if you have a story about survival that you would like to share with us, email us at survivinglifepod@gmail.com. You can find our episodes on Spotify, iTunes, Google, pretty much anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And if you'd like to rate, review, and subscribe us on iTunes, it would really help us grow. And we're going to close you guys out with a song from W Got Bars. It's called Balboa.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. Some need gold, some need Jesus pieces. I'm not in the chain. Some have ghosts writing the releases. Jesus, y'all should be ashamed. Some get rich, some break down. I've been numb to pain. Balboa, I find a way. Balboa, I find a way. Never move weight. Couple bags for a little bit of cash, wasn't heavy in the game. Never rock diamonds or gold, was a time when I bought a fake chain. Didn't see the light of day, won a couple fights, took a couple L's. I was in myself, but compelled to act brave. Rather almost died, I would say twice. Opened up my eyes, I remember that day. I cannot have been to who I really am. I can never flex on an Instagram. Trust me, I tried and it's lame. I was framed by the culture and should never gave a damn. It took leaving to find myself. Let the beat build and define myself. If I had the means, I would sign myself. But I do, so I did. Only time would tell if I'm really gonna find a way. Sick of doing shows, I don't like the pace. Y'all couldn't even feel the tank. They made a little bag from the heads I bring. Man, that's the thing. Think I need to shift the focus. Show love to the ones that notice. Stop paying stakes for the quick promotion. Approach your hate with bug spray. Can't persuade the roaches. Tell my girl she the one and only. That'll strengthen both us. Family deserves devotion. Can't take back these moments. Told music, hold it. Call kin and express condolence. Backspin where the rope is. Spinal scratches and the cut is open. In love with hoping I'ma stop corroding. Regain my passion by the summer solstice. Hope they get it gon' ride out. If they don't, I got this long range of consciousness. They said he gon' lie down. Cause the journey's vicious. See through the mission. To the end, I better find out who's truly with me. If the room is empty, can't do the friendly. If you pretending in the booth ascending, got deuces pending if it comes to that.
Some need gold, some need Jesus pieces. I'm not in the chain. Some have ghosts writing their releases. Jesus, y'all should be ashamed. Some get rich, some break down. I've been numb to pain. By boy, I find a way. By boy, I find a way. Some will live lives like I just might. Swear to God that shit leads to fame. Some will sit mud, some will throw ones. No trips to the club, I need to save. Some will lose focus, some will shoot doses. Never got close, don't feed the veins. By boy, I find a way. Yeah, by boy, I find a way. Guilt in the mind is mischief. Duck down in the mind, the system. They ain't fam if you try to.